Let's sing together number 44 in our white book. The other camp theme song, Holiness Unto the Lord, number 44. Shall we stand as we sing it? Take your seats again. Don't get scared. This is not halftime. I realize what time it is. But before we sing the last two verses, I do want to read something from the Bible to you, very briefly mention something. We have heard some names. You have heard some stories of years gone by. And there are many other names that could have been associated with some of those stories and people who God used at camp over the many years. And we get an idea, at least I do, and I remember saying something similar at the 70th celebration. We think, what are we going to do without them? What are we going to do without Brother Hunts? What are we going to do without Brother Gordon and Sister Caroline? What are we going to do without Brother Edwin? What are we going to do? And we got so many others. What are we going to do? What's going to happen when Sister Elsie is no longer down in the cottage? She was a fixture in the cottage. Sister Auntie, what are we going to do? What are we going to do when Sister Aletha's not here? Brother Peter, what are we going to do? God's camp is going to be run by God's people, and it's His job to figure out what we're going to do. That's His problem. He'll supply the workers. He'll supply those who need to fill those positions. But, you know, it's not just a warm body that God needs. He needs vessels. He needs people like we've been reading about in the morning worships. Those who have not been conformed to the world but been transformed by the renewing of their mind. And they're proving the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. People who He can speak to, who have ears to hear what He says, and hearts that will respond to His call. Nobody that was mentioned tonight. They've all been blessings. They've all been great vessels, but they all have been made by God. And what God is about to do in these days in our camp and through the years in camp is to make you a vessel, to make you into one of those vessels unto honor. And maybe it's, you know, 20 years ago that He started molding and shaping. Maybe it was down in the village for some of us. We started down there. Maybe we started, as I did, in the kitchen and washing pots and washing dishes. And yeah, Tim, I got to work in the boathouse for 2 weeks. And I was a waiter for a little while. And I guess I did more than even my son has done as far as positions at camp. But God works in us through the experiences, through the years, as we give ourselves to Him. And that's the key. Give yourself to Him. this story, it's brief, and I'm almost finished, but let me read it to you from 2 Kings chapter 13. It says Elisha was suffering from the illness from which he would die. Elisha had a school of the prophets, like Brother Gordon had a school of the ministers. Elisha was looked up to, and you know the story and the things that God used him to do in tremendous ways. And Elisha's about ready to die, and the king says, what are we going to do? What are we going to do without Elisha? I mean, the guy knows where the next battle is going to be, and he's already alerting us to the fact because God's speaking to him, and they think the place is bugged. You remember that story? He knows where we're going to attack next before we ever attack there. I mean, what are we going to do without Elisha? And I understand that whole feeling. Because, as I said, I've been there. My feelings have always been, well, what are we going to do? You walk around camp, you see these pictures hanging on the wall of those who have gone before, who God has taken to be with himself. And what are we going to do without Uncle Edwin? What are we going to do without Brother Gordon? What are we going to do without Brother Bob? How could that be? What are we going to do? And to this very day, we wonder, what's the next generation? What's going to happen to camp 10 years from now? Do you know? I don't. What's going to happen to camp the next generation away? Because we're only one generation away from losing the presence of God. We're only one generation away from losing the secret behind Pilgrim Camp. And what has gone on before has been entrusted to us. It's a holy trust. It's a holy calling. Is Pilgrim Camp the only place on earth that God meets people? Absolutely not. Is it the best place on earth? I don't know. I haven't been any place else much. I know God meets people in various places, but I do know this. God has given to this fellowship and to us this place. And he's entrusted us with some truths and things that are precious and have always been precious. And Paul says, Timothy, you take them. I hand them to you. And Timothy, would you then take them and hand them to other faithful men? But there have to be other faithful men and women to hand them to that can run with the torch as we pass it on from generation to generation. And so the king laments, Elisha's going to go away. What are we going to do? And before the Lord takes Elisha away, this little story takes place. Open the east window. And he opened it. Shoot, Elisha said, taking the bows and the arrows, and he shot. But before he did that, Elisha took that next generation's hands, put his hands on that bow and on that arrow. It's I don't know what verse it is. He placed his hands over the king's hands. What is that all about? Maybe it's teaching him what to do, teaching him how to do it. We have been taught, you have been taught. Has anybody ever known or heard that this weapon of praise works? We read this morning, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, the mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. One of these weapons is praise. And it's not just making noise and it's not just shouting, but there is a praise in the Holy Ghost that God wants to set into hearts of men and women and boys and girls. The kids that are here tonight are not too young to praise the Lord. You're not too young to open up your hearts and lift up your hands and worship God and call on God and praise the Lord. Nobody's listening to you. Nobody cares about your voice, but it's a sweet incense offered up to God as the heart is behind that worship. Have you ever heard taught at Pilgrim Camp that stillness is powerful? I thought you said praise is powerful. It is, but stillness is also. And when God puts stillness on a meeting, it's not so that you can get a 10-minute nap in before something else happens, but there's power in that stillness. As we sit still and wait upon God, God breaks bondages, heals bodies just as powerfully as in praise. God puts these manifestations of his presence on a meeting, and they vary. And they're not all one size and fits everyone. But whichever way God chooses to work, oh, that's like, people have put their hands on my hands and your hands and our hands, and they said, this is the way to shoot the arrows of the Lord. This is the way to do it. I'm going. I'm not going to be here forever, Ernie, but this is the way you do it. I can remember my Uncle Edward saying to me, Ernie McMutch, make much in the meetings of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's how you do it, Ernie. That's what's important. Lift up Jesus and his cross and the blood that was shed. Make mention of it. He said, make mention of it in every meeting. Sing about the blood. Sing about the cross. Draw attention to Jesus. Oh, we've been taught to shoot. We've been taught some wonderful truths that God has entrusted to us as a fellowship. And I'm thankful for every one of them. But the story closes, and I'll close my Bible if that helps anything. The story closes and it says, okay, you shot the arrows, and that means the victory of the Lord over Syria and over Aram. But now take the rest of those arrows and just strike the ground. And he struck the ground 3 times. And the man of God was a little bit angry about that. Only 3 times. You should have hit the ground more. Because if you hit the ground more, you would have gotten more victories. But you stopped at 3. And so the victories that you'll have over the enemies are not going to be as multitudinous as they would have been if you just kept on keeping on. Now, I don't know what that means. I know what Spurgeon said about it. And he said, you know, what it teaches me, Spurgeon said, is that you never give up, you never give up, you never give up. And you always have to press the battle. And you always have to keep on. And if you think 3 times is enough, do it 4. And if you think 4 times is enough, keep on going to 5 and 6 and 7. And that's the perfect number, so quit then. No, go to 8, 9, and 10. And never give up, never give up, never, no, never, no, never give up, because our adversary never gives up. And because he never gives up, we never give up either. But we keep on fighting, we keep on serving, and we keep on loving Jesus, and we keep on following him, and we keep on going from victory to victory, from victory to victory. And this next generation of Marks and Susannas and all the other kids that are here tonight, you're the ones that I want to tell you, keep on, keep on. Mark, follow your dad's footsteps. Follow what your mom teaches you. Susanna, the same. And all of you kids that are here. Whose faith follow. And they'll teach you how to shoot. And they'll teach you how to aim the right way and to shoot the arrows. You know, when I was down in there playing archery, when Ernie got a hold of that archery bow, well, they used to have, we don't have archery anymore for good reasons. But we used to have archery tournaments, and Ernie's got the bow. Everybody duck. Watch out. Ernie's got, what did you say? No, go this way. And I once in a while did hit the target. But dear Lord, I want to hit the target more than once in a while. And God wants to teach us and keep teaching us. God wants to help us and keep helping us. And I'm getting a little older. I'm not old either. I'm young. I'm still, Brother Paul, he said it right. I'm the young minister. But the young ministers are getting old. But faithful men, Tim, Isaac, Tibby, Peter, and I... And on and on, and then you guys, and the next generation, and the next. Keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on. It's about time the Lord takes me home to be with himself. Oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? We're going to keep on. We're going to keep on, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And Brother Gardner's not here, and neither is Sister Caroline, but Jesus is here, and his presence is here, and he wants to manifest himself sweeter as the years go by. And so I want to encourage myself, if nobody else. Oh, keep on. Keep on. It's always too soon to quit. And Lord, give me the grace and the strength and the whatever I have left in the tank. Lord, I want to expend it on the kingdom of God and furthering the kingdom of God and encouraging the people of God to never give up. Because when my uncle, I'll close with this. I close my Bible now. If I don't stop, walk out. But two days before my Uncle Edwin passed away, I happened to go see him in the hospital. If you don't know who he was the senior pastor of the fellowship for so many years. After Brother Hans Waldfogel was taken to be with the Lord, and Brother Gardner, and there was Uncle Edwin, and everybody looked up to Uncle Edwin for good reason. When I stepped out into the ministry to train for the ministry, it was really Uncle Edwin that was there, that was left, and others, a few others, but mostly Uncle Edwin. He mentored me, he taught me, and the day before he went to home to be with the Lord, he was in his 90s. He never stopped. Some of you know him. He never stopped. He'd preach a sermon at the church in Ridgewood, and the first one on his knees at the altar seeking God was Uncle Edwin. He was in his 90s or close to it by that time. And here he was 92. Was he 3? I don't know what he was when the Lord took him. But here I was visiting him. He was very sick. And it was quite clear the Lord was taking him. And at the very end, the last thing he said to me, Ernst, Jesus is wonderful. Jesus is wonderful. I mean, here's this old man, he's about ready to die, and his parting words to me were, Ernie, Jesus is wonderful. And then he said, oh, you know that already, don't you? You know that already. But serve him, love him, give yourself to him. Jesus is wonderful. And I'd like to pass that bit of information on to all of you younger ones that are here tonight, if you don't yet know it already. Jesus is wonderful. And it pays to serve Jesus. And I want to keep on keeping on. And by God's grace, we all will. Thank God. Let's stand together and sing those last two stanzas.
Called unto holiness.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the words that we've heard tonight. We thank you for your great faithfulness to this place, to each and every one of us. We pray that you would help us to do our part, Lord Jesus, in your work, wherever we are, Lord Jesus, but here at this place too, Lord, to the extent that you have called us, O God, that we might be those faithful men and women that would take your work forward, O God, for the benefit of future generations, how you've blessed children, Lord Jesus, from the first day the camp opened, Lord Jesus, even till today, Lord Jesus, as we see these little ones running around and playing and ultimately here in the meeting experiencing your presence, Lord Jesus, we just thank you for that. We pray that that work would continue, Lord Jesus, that you might cause it to continue tonight, tomorrow, Lord Jesus, in the weeks and years to come. We thank you again, Lord. We just praise and glorify your name. Jesus, indeed, you are wonderful.
Yes, Lord.
You are wonderful, Lord Jesus. We acknowledge you tonight. We praise and we worship you.
You're wonderful.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. I would encourage you, if you want to stay after and pray and continue to seek his face, that you would do so. If you need to leave, that you would do that quietly. Amen. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, thank you, Lord. Dear Lord, thank you, Jesus. Give us the grace, Lord. Oh God, the help that we need, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, let us have grace, O God, to serve you in such a way. Dear Lord, let us have grace, O God, that we might follow you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you for the light that you caused to shine, Jesus. Oh, let it shine greatly, O God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Precious Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord. Jesus is precious. He is so precious. Jesus is precious. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you.